good to see you this morning. I've got some special friends here, and I can't find them. Brandon, where are you? Raise your hand. There you are. Brandon Jacobs back in the back, and his wife, Sarah. Brandon is a church planter, and he is planting a church in Nashville in the future. And I met him a few months ago and just been praying for him. And would you give him a warm Franklin welcome for visiting our services? And afterwards, please go over and say hi and just let him know that we're so proud of him. It takes a special DNA to plant a church, all right? And some people say it's a little crazy, but Brandon, you fit that mold. I want you to know that. So he and Sarah, thanks for coming today. We're in a study and an initiative, if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks. We call it Love Your Neighbor. And this is not another program. It's not another short-term emphasis. It is my prayer that the five habits that we discuss become a lifestyle, a way of living that can make a difference in our church, in our community. We have a workbook that you can take with you. It gives more details about what's going on, and that's available out there. And so we're talking about when we know the Bible and when we start thinking like Jesus and living like Jesus, and seeing people as Jesus sees them. It's going to make a tremendous difference in the way we live and the way we interact with those in our life circle. It's an amazing transformation that takes place through the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you capture the vision over the next 5 weeks and join this family being used by God to make a difference in our church and in our community. Now, we've talked about two of those habits. The bless was 2 weeks ago, and your homework assignment was to go out and bless three people. And we gave you ideas on how to do that. Last week was eat, which has become the most favorite of the habits so far. And we challenge you to eat with three people, one of whom is not a church member, and just listen as the conversation takes place and how God can help us interact with that person. But what we hope to do is open doors in which people, they notice our Christian lifestyle. They ask spiritual questions. They seek our advice during their personal crisis. They're open to an invitation to come here and encounter the Lord. Let's pray right now before we enter this third habit, which is called listen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the worship through communion and the worship through the singing of songs to praise you, the worship that takes place when we give our offerings, when we share fellowship. But now we worship through the study of your word and just pray you'll touch our hearts in a special way. Father, some of our hearts are really hurting over the loss of Morris English, and just pray for the English family, a man who helped start this church, who's here from the beginning, who has seen the victories that you have given, who have seen attacks by Satan. And we know he's enjoying his reward. And so as we look in your word, we see the truth there, the promises there. They're for all people. They're for us today. In Christ's name. Amen. Most of you can recognize the picture that's coming up on your screen. Tim Tebow. I'm the before picture. He's the after picture. And he's a polarizing individual. There are people who just dislike him. They think of him as this publicity-seeking phony, that no one can be that perfect or that religious. He's got to have some skeletons in his closet, and they've looked, and they haven't found any yet. Many others admire him, respect the athlete and the Christian, and I consider myself in that company. I find him to be authentic and honest and open with his faith. And he joins the rank of many Christians who are athletes, who are ministers, who are politicians, who are just all of us, everyday people who are ridiculed because we use the phrase, God spoke to me. And many roll their eyes and they label us as liars. They label us as schizophrenic, that we're hearing voices. We're having conversations with imaginary people. And this threatened derision causes many believers to avoid mentioning a similar experience of how God spoke to them through the word or through the advice or wise counsel of others. But the Lord does speak to His children. I mean, the Bible has countless experiences of the Lord interacting with those here on earth, and sometimes in an audible voice. One such story occurred before kings ruled in Israel. A young boy named Samuel served in the tabernacle with Eli, the great old priest. Samuel slept near the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the very presence of God, which teaches us a quick lesson. If you want to hear God's voice, you got to stay close to Him. You got to be with Him on a daily basis. Early one morning, the Lord called out to Samuel three times, and each time Samuel ran to Eli, thinking it was Eli calling him for help. And each time Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." And then we read, then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there. I love that phrase. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The call of the Lord came when Samuel was alone. The Lord came to this young boy and stood before him. God's interaction with His children is always intimate. It's always personal. Now, God offered similar audible calls to Abraham, to Jacob, to Moses, but God longs for us to hear His voice. God speaks to us through His word, through circumstances, through experiences, through wise counsel, through open and closed doors. Now, I have never heard an audible voice, but I've had occasions when church members have told me that they have sworn they heard a voice just as clear as day. And while I would never deny God's ability to speak to people using direct speech, I really think it's rare simply because we have the complete Word of God today, and God speaks through His Word on a daily basis as we read it. And in addition, I always warn everyone, if that what is impressed upon them contradicts Scripture, then what they heard or what they read or what they experienced is not from God. He will never come in today and forever. Now here's our problem. We have a hard time listening. We love to talk to God. We love to ask Him for things. We love to tell Him what He needs to change to make our lives better. But we don't listen. That's the hard part. And it's understandable. We live in a loud world. I mean, there's noise going on all the time. Cell phones, television, iPads, music, the work conversations, kids, Alexa talking in your ear. I mean, it can be difficult to discern the still, small voice of God. But when we listen, when we really listen, we receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. If we're to have a personal relationship with God, we must be open to the possibility that sometimes God speaks directly to you. I mean, He has to me many times. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I have to work hard at this habit of listening. Because there are seasons when I'm so busy and when I'm so distracted that I miss his voice. And only realize in hindsight that God attempted to get my attention. But he's always there for us. And he's directing our steps and he's offering guidance. These leadings or promptings may come as a conviction of sin. Or as an assurance of God's love or a call to action. But God's going to speak to you when you need it and when you're ready to do something with it. But these promptings, I want you to understand, they are crucial for living a life for God and his kingdom. Christian author Richard Foster once wrote, "In our day, heaven and earth are on tiptoe waiting for the emerging of a spirit-led, spirit-intoxicated, spirit-empowered people. All of creation watches expectantly for the springing up of a disciplined, freely gathered church who know in this life the life and power of the kingdom of God. It has happened before. It can happen again." I want that to describe us. I want those phrases to describe Franklin Christian Church. That we are spirit-led. That we are spirit-intoxicated. The Spirit has taken over. That he has empowered us. And we are seeking God's guidance and following God's will. But he goes on to say that this will not happen until God's people experience a deeper, more profound relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's on all of us individually. To grow closer to God, to know him intimately. I believe with all my heart, the Holy Spirit offers the guidance and direction to every one of us ordinary people. It's not reserved for people who are more spiritual than we are. And there's probably plenty of them out there in the world. But the Spirit can and will give direction to all of us if we desire it, if we just listen. Have you ever been reading the Bible? And you get down to the bottom of the page and you can't remember anything you just read. I mean, if someone gave you a quiz on it, you would fail. You just can't remember what you read. How does that happen? Because we go on autopilot. We're not fully present in the moment. We see the words and we're going through the words, but the mind is not engaged. How can God speak to us if we don't pay attention? We can do the same thing in here. I mean, you can walk out the door and someone will say, "Hey, what was church about today?" "I don't know." "You mean you sat there for an hour and you don't know?" "I think it was about God. I think he said Jesus once too. And we don't know." "Well, what songs did you sing?" "They were about God." And we can't remember the song. We can't remember what we heard. Because a lot of times we're on autopilot. We're there, but the mind is not engaged with the Spirit. And we end up sounding like Jacob in the Old Testament who said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it." Jacob wasn't listening to God at that point in his life. In fact, he wasn't listening to any wise counsel. He was a con man. And while he was sleeping one night, God spoke to him through a dream. And he saw angels ascending and descending a ladder. And in that moment, God promised to always be with Jacob, to protect him, to guide him. And that dream shook him up. Like God was there and Jacob didn't even know it, but he did now. And he called that place the house of God. Because that's where God was. We want to grow more sensitive to God's presence. We want to be able to say in more and more moments of life, I'm in the house of God. I'm in the presence of God. And whether that be in here or whether it be at home or at your work office or in a car driving or taking a walk through the park, you want to feel and know the presence of God and say, I'm in His house right now. That God comes so close to you, so near to you, you recognize that you're in His house, in His presence. See, God speaking to you simply means that He wants to direct your actions because He has a goal in mind for you. And you begin having thoughts that you would not normally possess. You start thinking about people that you haven't thought about in a long time. Before we go on, let me warn you first what this listening to the Spirit is not. Okay? You ever watch The Price is Right? Some of you think Bob Barker's still on there. Okay, he's gone. It's over with. But Bob Barker and then Drew Carey have been the hosts for this show for almost 50 years. Contestants guess the price of merchandise to win cash and prizes. And what happens when they try to guess? Don't they turn to the studio audience? And the studio audience is yelling, you know, 3, 5, 7. And they're trying to get inside information because they know somebody out there knows the exact price. And they're trying to discern, okay, who knows? Hoping it leads to money and happiness. The Spirit's guidance is not inside information secretly gained by begging God for help. Many people give very little thought to spiritual guidance until they face a major decision, like marriage, like purchasing a home, or which job, which school. And many times what these good Christian people want is not spiritual guidance. They want inside information that will lead to money and happiness and success. And I'll tell you the difference. Here's the test to know whether you really want God's guidance. Ask yourself, how often do I seek His direction when I'm not facing a major decision? When I'm not facing a crisis? I mean, it's fine to ask for help when you're looking for a job, when you're dealing with a marriage proposal. But we should also be asking things like, how do I be a more truthful person? Father, help me find a mentor. Guide me towards a mentor who can help me to pray deeper. What people around me, God, this week need encouragement. Just open my eyes to them because I want to encourage them in Your name. And let me say this. Seeking guidance from the Spirit is not a passive action. I mean, I actually heard of a guy, and this is true from another minister, who told me that somebody in his church was looking for a job, desperate for a job, saw the perfect job that he wanted, but he didn't apply for it. Because if it was God's will, he would get the job anyway. That's nuts. I'm like, they're just going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, I got a job for you, aren't you, Jimmy? Yeah, there you go. Seeking God's guidance is never passive. We do not worship a passive God. We face important decisions. We must pray and seek guidance and counsel and exercise judgment and wisdom and initiative and choice and responsibility. And sometimes in faith we take risks. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt to face a sea in front of the mountains on either side and the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. And it looks like they made the wrong decision, but it was God's will that His people get out of slavery and go to the promised land. But that journey did not come without risk, and your decisions won't either. But you have the promise of His presence. So, bottom line, how do we listen to God's voice? First, we need to listen continually. And this is your homework to start off if you're not doing this, and this will help you. This is your homework this week. Set aside 15, 20 minutes, 3 days this week, and spend time in silence. Okay? Now, if you're like me, this is going to be very difficult. I'm always doing something. I got a little OCD going on. But I keep notepads all around me in every room just in case I get a thought and I write it down. Or I need to send an email, or I need to make a phone call. When I'm watching a ball game on television, I've got my laptop. I'm typing on my laptop. I got my cell phone on one side. I got another notepad on the other. And I have trouble relaxing. I have trouble just sitting in solitude. But the Bible reminds us there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. So your homework assignment this week is to find the time to be silent. Three times this week, find a quiet place with few distractions. Maybe you can close your office door at work. Maybe you can go out in the backyard. Maybe you have a room in your house where you can leave your cell phone in the other room. And you're just going to sit. Now, you're not going to clear your mind. Okay, this isn't Eastern meditation technique. You're not going to cross your legs and go, om. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. Thoughts are going to come. Let them come. But don't react to them. Don't say, oh, I've got to call Bill. Let it go. Don't dwell on them. But thoughts will come. Take your notepad. Throw it away for this time, all right? Just listen. Relax. You are there to listen as God speaks through your thoughts. And you're going to know when he speaks. And if you want to use a little music, that's fine. But I would say instrumental music, just quietly, barely audible. You can read maybe a verse of scripture to begin with and then set it aside. Because this isn't Bible reading time. This isn't prayer time. And don't run out of here telling people, my minister told me not to read the Bible or pray. All right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying for this time, just be silent. Separate yourself from your hurried schedule. 15, 20 minutes is all. And just sit. Let the stress go down. Let the blood pressure go down. And just listen through your thoughts. Come on, you can do this, all right? Some of you are saying, I don't want to do this. Yeah, you can do this. Now, if you're a results-oriented person, an outcome-oriented person, I that's the way I am. You're going to grow frustrated if God doesn't speak in the first 30 seconds. And you're, okay, God, let's go. I'm trying this. I got to have something. Okay, you can't force God. And you've just got to learn. If you don't do well the first time, try it again. Try it the third time this week. And allow this time. Just try to find that sense of comfort and peace and eventually a source of direction. His prompting may not come immediately. It could actually come in a conversation right after this time. But God is on his time, not ours. He will speak. And maybe it won't come till 2 hours later and you open your Bible for your devotion time and you read that and you say, oh, that's it. God's talking to me through his word. But pay attention, because in those quiet moments of solitude, the Spirit just might bring a name to mind or a face of a person. And it may be God prompting you, hey, you need to check on this individual. Because they need encouragement. Or it may be God sending you so you can get some encouragement. But whenever your quiet time is over, whenever you have that answer, then contact that individual. Because if we want God to speak and we fail to act on his leadings, why would he continue to talk to us? He wants us to act on what we know. God is the original networker. Okay, he loves to network people. He connects us to people who have needs that we can meet. And in turn, he sends others our way when we need encouragement, when we need direction. And once you are in this godly habit, here's what's amazing. You're going to be listening to God throughout your day. You won't have to sit and stop And you can still do that, but you won't have to because you're always looking for God's presence and God talking to you. I served a church in Florida. And I was really working on this because, like I said, I'm bad at it. But I was really working on this. And I had a group of young dads. We were all young dads. We all had young children. And our wives, at one time, they were all pregnant. And so, you know, we were working together. And we would do a Bible study together. We would do a Christian book for Christian men. And we do it together. And we meet for lunch once a week. And it was that day, I was sitting in the office, and I looked at my watch, and I said, I got to go now because of this traffic that was near the restaurant. It takes forever. So I grabbed my book, I started going out the door, and the phone rang. And I told myself, don't answer that, you're going to be late. Just keep going. And then it was like, but it could be a prompting. It could be I'm supposed to answer that. And I need to answer that. So I went back and I picked up the phone, thinking it might be somebody who needs help or someone who needs prayer. And it was some sales guy wanting to sell me chocolate-covered communion bread or something. I don't even remember what it was. It was a waste. And I don't hang up on people. I mean, my mother told me you never hang up the phone on anybody. And you know, so I listen, and I'm trying to wait for a slight pause. And this guy was talking 100 miles an hour. And finally, I said, listen, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Thank you anyway. And I have a wonderful, blessed day. And he said goodbye. And I hung up the phone. But now I'm late. And I get to the restaurant, and there's a long line, and I wave to the guys because they're all sitting down, and I get in line, and I'm complaining to God for that false prompting, you know, picking up the phone. I sort of blamed him. And there was a woman in front of me in line, and she had her tray, and she had a drink there on the tray, and I was standing behind her just not really paying attention, trying to figure out what I was going to order. And she made this gesture, and she knocks over her drink. Onto me. And so she is very apologetic. And I'm thinking, okay, this is God's punishment for complaining. And she's just, oh, I'm so sorry. And she gets napkins and she's wiping my sleeve and, you know, and the whole bit. I said, it's all right. And we laugh about it. And we start talking. And she looks down and she sees the book. The drenched book now. And she looks down and she says, is that any good? I said, yeah, it's a really good book. And she said, well, you know, I've been wanting to get my son-in-law a gift. He and my daughter have been having some marriage problems. And I think this book would help. I said, well, it's a great book. So she wrote down the name of the book and the author, and then we went our separate ways. And I sat down with my guys, and we were talking. About 10 minutes later, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around, and it's the woman. And there are tears in her eyes. And she said, I just want you to know that I've been so worried about my daughter and son-in-law and their marriage. And I prayed this morning when I first woke up, God, could you please give me just a little sign that you're there for them? And that you're going to be there for them and encourage them and encourage the marriage. And then I also asked, if I can give them anything or help them in any way, please let me know. And she says, I just want you to know that you are the answer to my prayer this morning. And I took out my business card and I gave it to her and I said, listen, if I can help in any way, please let me know. Call me or have the kids call me. And she took the card and she looked at it and she says, you're a minister? And I guess she didn't see my halo, you know, at the time. She said, you're a minister? And then she says, wow. I mean, I asked God for help, but I didn't know he would send a professional. When you are in tune with God, You're going to have those promptings. Because it occurred to me later, if I had been on time, I would have never met her. If that phone call had not rung, if I hadn't been led to answer that phone when I didn't want to, she would have never been by me in that line. Yeah, I know there are people, well, that's just coincidence, David. I know. But coincidences happen when I pray. And I believe with all my heart that God set that up, that divine appointment, that divine meeting. And that he doused me with Diet Coke to get my attention. I believe that with all my heart. When you're open to God's leading, you're going to get the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God uses his children, even reluctant ones. But spiritual guidance and leadings only make sense for people who are resolved to respond to those promptings. When you are committed to seek first his kingdom, he will respond to your faith by actively involving you in the lives of others. What would the church in the United States look like if everyone who showed up on Sunday morning had spent 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 minutes every day alone with God? I believe it would change everything. I believe it will change the way you take communion. I believe it will change the way you pray, the way you look at people. If you spend time with God and let him lead you. And as long as we're going to pray to the God who spoke creation into being, who communicated to prophets and priests and kings, whose son died on the cross for us, then surely we can accept the possibility that sometimes he may want to get a word or two in with us. And that's why we need to listen. And then act. During the song, make this a time of commitment that you're going to make to God. And you're going to say, God, I'm going to spend more time with you. With removing the distractions. I want to hear you. And I want to obey you. Make that commitment to him right now. Let's stand, please.